Have you ever said to yourself, I'm an overachiever. I just take care of everyone else. I'm a perfectionist. I can do everything myself. I have to be the strong one. And maybe this one. I'm just type A. I have a type A personality. I hear these phrases often, and I have personally used them myself, especially the type A personality. I hear the women that I mentor and the women that I coach one-on-one say these phrases all the time. Yet, now that I myself have done so much work and healing, I see these phrases so differently now that it's not just who they are, but it's often who they had to be. Because I know from my own personal story, these titles, these identities I built kept me alive. And many of the women that I work with would call it personality traits, especially in the beginning, until we start to unpack and untangle some of the things that they've been through. I think many of these quote-unquote personality traits that we would call them are actually just adaptations, things people needed to do to survive, or things that I should say that they needed to become to survive. But I do want to note before moving any further that I'm not speaking in absolutes here, and I'm not trying to say that all overachievers are only there because they're surviving. I don't believe that, but I do believe that there are gifts that God has given us or things that we prefer. Like maybe you are somebody who just loves making a list and checking it off, or you love your job and you want to have a spirit of excellence and a great work ethic. All those things are good and okay on their own. However, I like to look at the fruit because I see so many women carrying things that are beyond their natural God-given gifts. So most of these identities that we've created are often related or started as solutions. We've learned to adapt because that's what healthy brains do, right? If we grow up in an environment where love feels conditional, emotions feel unsafe, conflict feels dangerous, needs go unmet, we just learn, what do I need to do? Who do I need to become to stay safe here? And you're not consciously thinking that. We just go into these modes and then we become that. Something I think that is so important in this process is being willing to slow down and ask yourself, how did I get here? And if you are somebody that just feel stuck, or you're not sure where to go, or you have all these emotions, or you're trying to figure out your relationship with God through all of this pain and turmoil and the things that you're going through, my self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts, would be a great place to get started. It is 50% off for the summer sale right now, and you can go at it at your own pace. You have lifetime access to it. And again, it's 50% off. All you gotta do is go to the title of this episode, scroll down to the notes or the description, I should say, of the episode, and you will find the link right there. But again, my self-paced course is gonna take you through steps, and you'll have homework. So things to do, things to apply. So you're not just listening and taking in more information, but to also be able to apply what you're learning to really get the process started of healing with the Lord. Again, wherever you're listening to this episode, hit the title of this episode and then scroll down through the description and you will find the link to get started today. So I want to take the overachiever, for example. The belief underneath that is if I perform well enough, I'll be valuable. Now, again, there could be other lies, but this is one of the main ones. And the way that this plays out, like signs to look for, is productivity determines your worth. So you have to do all the things because that's what you think is going to make God act on your behalf or God love you. often if you try to rest, you feel so bad about resting and slowing down. It creates guilt. Slowing down feels extremely unsafe. So what I mean by unsafe, it just might feel uncomfortable. You might feel like you have to keep going, or you are constantly chasing the next thing, like the next goal, the next project, the next to-do list. Like, you just have to keep going. And you would say, well, I'm an overachiever. Look at all these things that I've done. And if we look at the root of that, what are we really saying? If we stop doing all the things, what is our heart communicating? Another example is the people pleaser. And I work a lot of this out with my one-on-one coaching clients. And the belief underneath of that is, if everyone is happy with me, I'll be safe. I'll be okay. And the fruit of this, the signs to look for, can be fear of disappointing people. You wanting to make sure everybody's happy around you, and you can't be okay until you know that they're okay. You say yes when you mean no. You over-explain yourself constantly. Like, you want to defend yourself, or if you say no, you give them three paragraphs as to why you said no. Maybe you feel anxiety when someone is upset with you. So again, we kind of carry these identities, like, I'm an overachiever and I'm a people pleaser. Now, that one might not sound so positive sometimes, but we do. We are like, another way that we say it positively is, I just take care of everybody else. You know, for me personally, I had shared earlier that I was definitely, I still love to be type A, you know, but I think my personality is just, I love a good written list. I still use paper and pen, you know. I still love writing things out. I still have a paper planner. Anybody else out there? There are things that I still love, but what I've learned about personalities and personality tests and all these things is that if I'm in Christ, right, I should be healing. I should be renewing my mind, and I should be growing and changing. So I don't identify with one personality trait or one, you know, test out there. I don't think that we are, you know, I don't even want to name some of them because it's not the point, but we get so of like, I am X and that is why I do X. And I think that's great to recognize, oh, I have these personalities or these different traits, but we shouldn't stop there. It should always be morphing in the different seasons and things that we move through, right? And so for me, I realized that so much of my work ethic, which is good and healthy, but it was driven by the need to keep going. Like, I had to perform. I needed to be successful because for me, I had to prove them wrong. That's why I had to be successful. So I was the overachiever. I was the one in my 20s, working three jobs, doing all the certifications, doing all the things so that they could say, wow, Jess, like, you do so much. And I'd be like, yes. And I'm so tired at the same time. But I wanted the acknowledgement. I wanted people to say, wow, you're doing such a great job. And I can't believe all that you're doing. And look at all these titles and the things that you've accomplished. And look at all the followers that you have on social media. And like, if I can just be honest, blah. Like, I'm not blotting on you. It's just me. It was so much to carry because deep down, I was hurt. I was wounded. I was in pain. I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to rest. I didn't know how to slow down. All of it felt foreign. All of it felt uncomfortable. And nowadays, through the healing that I've come and just really learning to trust God on a practical level, I'm going in the opposite. I want to go in the opposite direction of what the world is saying. You got to be busy. So for me personally, it was a survival pattern and the identity I had to have to survive, to keep going. And I built this identity that, like, I was the overachiever. I'm the type A. I need to keep moving forward. I'll rest when I'm dead. Like, all the things. And I wore it as a badge, loud and proud. So I don't know what you're carrying, but I want you to think about, what identity have you created to survive? Are you saying, I'm a perfectionist, because you really genuinely just enjoy things that are in order, or this, again, the spirit of excellence, like you enjoy that? Or are you saying that you're a perfectionist because if things aren't in order, that anxiety comes for you? Is it a gift, or is it an identity you built to survive? Because I think that people pleasers can have the gift of hospitality and caregiving, but then I think from maybe our own wounds, we take it to the next step. So I want you to think about getting curious instead of being critical of yourself, because most people notice a survival pattern, or when they finally realize it, and they immediately start judging themselves. Like, why am I like this? Why do I think like this? I am a child of God. I should trust God more. What is wrong with me? I need to stop doing this. Instead of just saying, well, that's interesting. I wonder why I'm acting like this, or I wonder where this came from. I wonder what this was helping me do. If we're taking some of the examples that we talked about, overachieving may have helped you feel valuable. People pleasing may have helped you avoid rejection. But the thing I really want you to see is that when we can start getting curious about the things that we title and give ourselves, like, is that even in the Bible? Like, is God naming all of his people and saying, okay, Moses, you're the overachiever. Moses or Abraham, you're the perfectionist. And, you know, Peter, you are going to be type A, or Paul, you're going to be type A. We can see the characteristics, right? So I'm going to challenge you to be curious, because that's going to create compassion, and criticism create shame, and the shame keeps the spiral going. The shame is what keeps you in the overachiever, in the type A, in the perfectionist. And so the goal isn't to shame the version of you that kept you alive. You needed that. You were in a season. You had to. I think sometimes we can just thank God, thank that version of ourselves, of just like, okay, we did it. Okay, we're here. And then let God show you who you are beyond this identity that you've given yourself. Because we can see again in the Bible who he called his people. If I name some more people quickly, it's, you know, Martha, her identity of the I have to. Jesus wasn't correcting service, he was addressing identity. If we think about Peter, this is his persona of I have to prove myself. Jesus wanted him to continually invite him into dependence on him. If we go back to Moses, you know, we see Moses feeling not good enough. Hello, hand raised. How many of us have ever felt that way? But God continually reminded him, I will be with you, right? So let us be encouraged and not shame ourselves, but get curious about why am I labeling myself this? Am I exhausted? What's the fruit that I'm bearing? And then just recognize that for what it is, and not shaming yourself for it. I want you to remember that this isn't who you are. It's what you've learned. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life, and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.